I have something I'd like to share that it's like a revelation that came to me. I don't know where my head has been. I don't know what I've been thinking. For the longest time, I'm talking years, when I read Romans 6, and I would see the old man, and we would talk about the death of the old man, I came to realize, and I'm thinking, you know, Romans 6:6, our old man is crucified. And I've said for years, what dies is the way you perceive God. That he isn't the destructive God, the God of anger, but he loves you. And you begin to see a different way of realizing the cross. But, you know, I'm answering questions on the website, and you can ask me a question and I'll post an answer to it. But one thing that came out is that the spirit of God is his emotional side. Your spirit is your emotional side. And the way you perceive God is part of your emotional side. That's what died on the cross for you. If you look at it, your makeup, as we've been learning in 1 John 5, water, blood, and spirit, these three agree in one. These testify in the earth. Well, which one of those three dies, do you think? The water, the blood, or the soul, or the spirit? And I realized, good night. This is really, when you go back and look and read, it makes perfect sense. I want to read this to you in Romans 6, and I want you to realize that if the way you perceive God died on the cross, that's your spirit. And also, the way you perceive others, that's your spirit. And that was why the man died, to take the works of the devil and destroy the works of the devil. Well, the devil is the whisperer, and he only whispers to your emotional side. Your emotional side is your spirit. So let me read this, and then, you know, if you got questions, because I've got a lot of questions about this. But in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in iniquity that grace may abound? Now, right there, that word sin has the definite article in front of it, and it's the sin. And I know from 1 John 3:4, the sin is iniquity. So I've already marked it in my Bible, and as I read it, I'm just going to put it in there for you. Shall we continue in iniquity so God can keep giving us grace? No. How shall we that are dead to iniquity live any longer in it? Don't you know that as many of us are immersed into Jesus Christ, are immersed into his death. Now, you know, whether you take that literally, it's got to be spiritual too. Because you don't go get in the water unless somebody tells you something. And if you're going to be immersed into his death, somebody has to teach you about his death. Well, let's just stop right here. You should get out a pencil and paper and start making a list of what you know about his death. Because his death is a portrayal of the effects of iniquity. And what he says on that cross, after the sun was blotted out, is how you find death to iniquity. That's how you do it. That's what happened at the cross. He's showing you how to find death to iniquity. So what he says here, you are immersed into his death. Somebody teaches you about his death. Verse 4. Therefore, we're buried with him through immersion into death. So as I immerse you, as I teach you of his death, I'm immersing you in the water of his word. And if you want to go out and jump in the water and get ducked in there too as a symbol of it, fine. But without the first part, the second part is meaningless. Without this first part of being baptized, being taught of his death, the second part has no meaning. But now get this in verse 4. We're buried with him through the water of the word of his death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead or out of the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now that is what's supposed to happen. You're immersed into his death and you walk in newness of life. What do you mean, newness of life? Well, I quit smoking and drinking. Now I praise God and I go to church. Is that what he's talking about? If it is, to you, you haven't been immersed into his death. You've been told he died. You've been told he died and he rose. God raised him from, that's about all you got. Somebody needs to tell you about his death and what all it entailed, and I just call it the picture painted, or the painted picture, however you want to say it. But look at verse 5. If you have been united with him in the similitude of his death, you'll be in the similitude of his resurrection. Now, similitude's only in there once, but it certainly is implied. The likeness of his death and his resurrection. If you can unite with him in death, well, how do you do that? You pray the prayer. You pray the prayer that is significant. Father, I feel forsaken. I'm thirsting for truth. And I will no longer try to do this myself. I will not try to save myself. Into your hands I commit my what? My water? My blood? No. My spirit. Into your hands I'm giving you my spirit. That unites you to him. That's what he did. He prayed that prayer on the cross and found death. And you've got to realize the crown of thorns, the nakedness, you know, the whole ball of wax, and then pray your way unto death. Not just pray the prayer. Hey, I prayed the prayer. Well, you're good. Who's next? I prayed the prayer. You're not praying the prayer until you understand the cross and what the purpose of that prayer is. So now just look at this now. Verse 6. Knowing that, let me read verse 5 again. If you've been united with him in the similitude of death, you'll also be in the similitude of his resurrection. Knowing this, you gotta know this. This is what he, see, knowing this. You find death and resurrection knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. How you perceive God and how you perceive others. Your spirit, your emotional side dies right there. So that the body of iniquity would be rendered inactive. Do you realize if the way you perceive God and the way you perceive others dies, then iniquity is rendered inactive? Think that through for a minute. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know how I ever missed this. And I praise God for this revelation. It really helps me. I don't know if it helps anybody else, but in verse 7, for he that is dead is free from iniquity. Now, if we're dead with Christ, stop. See, I recently watched this Jesus, what is it? Jesus, what? The guy that plays in The Chosen, stars in it, and Kelsey Grammer. Anyway, the Jesus Revolution. And everybody's singing and praising God and lifting their Bibles, baby, and swinging them around and hallelujah, brother, and you're in our family. And they all go down where to get baptized? The ocean. I mean, it makes perfect sense. They go down and get baptized in the sea. It just kills me. Nobody tells them about iniquity. The word iniquity isn't mentioned one time in the whole thing. But you know what's mentioned? How many did we get saved? We got them saved. Look at all these people getting saved. That's what they say. Why? Because they said, well, I believe in Jesus. I want to get baptized. Well, what are you baptizing them into? Well, I'm baptizing them. They believe he died. Okay, well, what about it? What did that look like when he died? What did he say? Well, that doesn't matter. I believe it. Well, what do you believe? Well, you know, do you believe he portrayed iniquity and that you have it? Do you believe he is showing you how to die to that iniquity? Where does iniquity come from? The serpent. Now, he only talks to the emotional side. If that emotional side dies, if your wife dies, you're free to marry another. And you want to marry New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. She's going to marry her children. And she is not going to have the same impact on you as your emotional side has had in the past. You're free from iniquity if you've been immersed into Christ and if you have united with him in that prayer. You understand that? Have you prayed like that? You know, there's something to the prayer, but it's got to be the right prayer. Verse 7, he that's dead is freed, is made righteous from iniquity. If you're dead with Christ, we believe that we'll live with him. There is your emotional side coming alive. Do you see yourself as being dead with him? Then you can see yourself alive with him. That's your emotional side. You don't walk away from this thing saying, well, shoot, you know, I got to try to do better now because I'm a Christian. No, you're dead. You know why you're not dead? Because you never understood it. Nobody ever told you. And you might be as sincere as you can be. I mean, really, you might really be sincere. But you know what? You're dead in iniquity. You're a dead person waiting to be killed. That's basically what you are. And you can run around with the Bible all day long. Pray all the prayer you want to pray. But if you don't pray that one, what he prayed on that cross, understanding what he knew at that time, that is why the man did it. There is your sinner's prayer. That's it. That is what he is praying. Father, into your hands, I'm giving you my spirit. I'm finished with this. I can't do it. I feel forsaken of God like this. But I know there's truth out there, but I'm not going to try to do it myself. Into your hands, I commend my spirit. and he died. That's when he died, and that's when you can find death from your crown of thorns and your nakedness, your pain, your darkness. See, it changes the way you see God and the way you see you and the way you see us. All of that has to change. And that's what I'm reading in Romans 6. And I want to keep reading just a little bit more of this. And knowing, see in verse 9, knowing Christ being raised from the dead isn't going to die anymore. Death doesn't have dominion over him. You know that. For in that he died unto iniquity once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon. Stop. What's reckon? Impute. Make the list. Reason it out. Likewise, reason this out. Reason this. Get this in your spirit. That you're dead to iniquity. Reason that out. Go look at that man again and look at him hanging on that cross and listen real close to what he says. Because Paul is saying, well, if you then be crucified, if you're then raised, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It isn't me. It's Christ living in me. It's his faith. Well, if that be the case, then your emotional side, your spirit, has been changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Your spirit changes. In that he died unto iniquity once. In that he lives unto God. Likewise, look at yourself like that. Let that change your spirit. You're dead unto iniquity. You're alive to God in Jesus. How do you get in him? You're immersed into his death. Now you're in him, and now your spirit is dead, and you don't see God the same, and you don't see humanity the same, and you don't see yourself the same. But what difference does that make? Verse 12, don't let iniquity then reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust of your iniquity, because you found death on the cross. Don't yield your members, which is your body, spiritually speaking, as instruments of iniquity to iniquity. Yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? You're not governed by the law. You're governed by God's grace. Well, shall we sin then because we're not under the law, but we're under grace? No. Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked. You were the servants of iniquity because you didn't see God accurately, and you didn't see the world accurately, and you didn't see yourself accurately.
Amen.
You were servants of iniquity, but now you have obeyed into a form of teaching, which I just gave you. Being then made free from iniquity, you've become the servants of righteousness. See how it works? See, we've been talking about this for a long time. And it helps me to realize my spirit is what dies. I've got the water, the blood, and the spirit. And it's my spirit which is reacting or a consequence of my water and blood. And so I go to the Lord and I go, look, I don't feel right about myself. I'm not in line with you. I need help here. What I want to do, I can't do it. What I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing all the time. Dear God, help me here. I'm hungering. I'm thirsting for truth. But the way I'm looking at it, ain't working. So, into your hands I commend my spirit. I commend my emotional side. I'm giving you my emotional side. And I'm trusting you to put it to death and give me a new spirit. I need a new emotional side. And so he will give you the water of life. He'll give you truth. And he will raise you from that death. You died saying what you said. If you really did, he'll raise you with a new spirit. If you've been taught right, you'll see God differently. And you're going to look at these churches out here, and I'm telling you what, the hair ought to stand up on the back of your neck when you see what they're doing to people. It is God-awful, criminal, Babylonian crap. And people are walking out of these churches. How do you know? You're saying, I got baptized. Hey, I prayed the prayer. You didn't either. You don't know God, and the people who are in those churches don't know God either. They can't give you what they don't have. You're at the end of the world, and it is the true church facing the darkness of Babylon. And if you want to look at them, they got nice clothes. They sing nice, and golly, they're nice to me. That's great. But depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. You're a worker of iniquity. You've got a solid message, and you need to stand up for it. And like Paul said, he said, I'm speaking words of truth and soberness. This will sober you up when you speak the truth in what is happening in this world and what is getting ready to happen. You can't sit back. Well, now if we can get somebody elected in there, that's a joke. It isn't going to happen. The Lord has given us the truth. Listen, did you die on that cross or not? Did you pray that prayer, the true one, or not? You know, your water and your blood is proof of that spirit. What's the water God has given you? And this blood, did he not acquit you? Or do you not have a clean slate? And that produces a spirit, just like the cross, it has produced a spirit in you. Gosh, God is love. God loves me. And I've been so wrong at how I've looked at the world and how I've looked at these people. I have been so wrong at how I've seen myself. Dear God, help me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Give me a new spirit. Give me a new one. And he does. You pray the prayer, that is what he'll do if you've been given the truth. And if you haven't, then you're in the universal church and you're walking around here telling people you know God, you know Jesus. Why? Well, I believe it. What do you believe? Well, I believe the Bible. What about this part of it where there's only one God? The Trinity is false. How about this part over here? When you die, you're dead. Where did Jesus go when he died? See, what is it you're believing? What is it has changed? Your spirit is supposed to change. And if you have the water and the blood, the resulting spirit is the truth. You can't lie about it. It's manifesting your water and blood. It's the truth. So.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I thank you for saying that. I I don't know. I watched that show, that Jesus Revolution thing, and I'm telling you, you need to watch that, and you will see what is wrong with our nation, because people think that that's the way it is. Chuck Smith and Calvary Baptist, whatever it all is, getting baptized at Pirate's Cove. You want to get baptized? I do want to get baptized. Well, come on. I don't even know your name. I don't know. Come on. I'll baptize you. Come on. Okay. You're good. How many more want to? Oh, there's a dozen over here. That's ridiculous. And I know, you know, you need to sing and praise God and all that. But you also need instruction as to what in the world you're doing. But they didn't get that. So it's terrible. It's a terrible loss. And I pray the people in our church understand what's going on and you can help another person. I love you guys. I just praise God for his word. And I pray to not be so weak-kneed that I can't proclaim it and give you words of truth and soberness. This should sober us up. We're at the end of the world. You want to help somebody. You don't drag them into the Pirate's Cove, for God's sake, and baptize them in the ocean. It's just funny to me. It's funny and it's sad. So I'm done.